Let's begin. Let's review Pasuk Yud Beis. Pasuk Yud Beis, there are a few ideas I want to go through. Yishalem Hashem Pa'aleich Usi Maskateich Shlema Mim Hashem Luka Yishol Hashabos Ta'ashabos Lachasois Tachas Kenafav. Here Boaz is giving her a bracha to Rus. May Hashem reward you for your deeds, your good deeds, and may your reward be complete from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem who is Elokei Yisrael, whom you have come to take shelter underneath His wings. Okay, so we discussed last week the very elaborate Targum, Yonos Targum. The Targum says that you are in the reward. What's the reward? The reward is for converting, for becoming a Giyores, and for taking a shelter underneath the Shechina. And in that merit, you shall be spared from Gehenim, and your neshama should be together with your portion, should be with the portion of Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Valea. Okay, and we're going to come back to that a little bit later on. In later psukim, we're going to come back to that idea of being together with the Imos. But there's a lot of discussion, a lot of different ideas are brought out in this pasuk of the repetition of why. Boaz was so elaborate in his bracha to her. And truthfully, there are two parts. It's first, Yishalem Hashem Pa'aleich. May Hashem reward you for your pu'ula, for your deed, and may your reward be complete. So one idea I came across is that we have to understand that Rus converted in a two-stage process. Okay, this is an interesting idea. Good morning, internally. I don't think there's anything really like this in halacha. I'm not certain that first Rus became a ger toishav, and then Rus became a ger tzedek. The question is, let's say, what happens if a person wants to become a goy, a complete an idolater, one who worships pagan idols, and wants to immediately become a ger tzedek? That's a bit scary. You're jumping from worshiping idols to becoming 100%. Is that really advisable? Perhaps it would be better to first become a ger toishav and then become a ger tzedek. A two-step process. Ger toishav observes the zayin mitzvahs mei noyach. And then, at a later point in time, you take upon yourself to observe the Tayag Mitzvos. So there's some commentators that tell us, indeed, that's exactly what Rus did. Rus, when she married Machloin, she became a Ger Toishav. She was mekabel upon herself the seven mitzvahs b'nei noyach, but it's not logical that Machlon would have gone so far to marry a woman who is mamish and Ovid Avodah Zarah, who worships idols. Has to be that to some degree she converted, she was somewhat religious. And at least being a ger toishav, at least this is also a madrega. Then, now, when she comes with Naomi to Eretz Yisrael, she now accepts upon herself Tayag Mitzvah. It goes the next step from not just a ger toishav to becoming a ger tzedek. So some want to suggest that's really what the pasuk is saying. That's why there's a double reward. The first part of the word, Yishalem Hashem Pa'aleich, that refers to this, that you have converted, you have become a ger toishav. To some degree, that might have been even more difficult to give up a lifestyle of pure efgeris and to be semi-observant of being a ger toishav. That also deserves reward. That also is significant.
Ger toishav, have a mitzvah by Noah?
Yes, a ger toishav. In fact, there are movements, there are organizations out there that focus on this, that try to train people. They should at least observe the Zayin Mitzvos B'nei Noach. I'm not familiar with this, but I never heard of such a thing. I think someone once directed me to a website that represented a group of people that are very into this, so that the Goyim should, at least there should be a semi-conversion of becoming a Ger Toishav. So someone... What?
I'm learning the Gemara. The Gemara is 3 days what a Ger Toishav is.
Yeah.
About the Zohar.
Yeah.
Eating the bailiffs.
Yeah.
And the third one, the
Shiloh. Okay, I'm not sure. I'm assuming that the stringent, the most chomor. I don't know. But there are two different madrigas.
Rashi says it's the only one.
About the Zara. Okay, there are different madrigals of being a ger toisha, but in any event, that's someone said that's why there's repetition. Yishalav Hashem Palech is being a ger toisha, and then when it goes on to say, "See Masutech Shleima may be complete," that refers to the second step of becoming a ger tzedek. Okay, that's one idea. Another idea it focuses upon the word Palech. Why does the pasuk say that Hashem shall reward you for your deed?
And the,
what?
The word Gemara uses the word Palach is machlokes. If the word if those who Palach worship the body deserve, those who don't worship, Gemara says machlokes. Can you get Toshi be mavatal of the body deserve like a god?
Yeah.
The Rav Nachman pasuk says that since they don't worship the body deserve, they can't. Those who worship the body deserve
can. You have to be right. You have.
Those who don't. Tomorrow's all kinds of shadows, right? Of course, only in the Gerutash. I don't need money in the body, Jordan. Tomorrow's all my fighters there, my Gerutash. Tomorrow's the case of Yerusha, two brothers. One was a Gerutash, one was a Goy. They split the inheritance. But Seth for Seth, the Gerutash passing this Pollock means to.
To worship. Okay. All right. Fine. Okay. But here it on a very simple level it's been used in different contexts. But why does it focus on palech on your deeds? Palech. So someone says that, and then it goes on to say the next part of the pasuk. It says, "See Mas Utech Shleima." There's no mention of a deed. The deed, the palech, is only mentioned in the beginning of the pasuk, not in the end of the pasuk. So first we have to understand there's reward in this world and there's reward in the next world. The ultimate reward comes in the next world. In this world, the most you can get is the peros. You get some small degree of reward. What exactly does one get reward for in this world? So some want to say it is for what's the different ways, the different ideas that are brought out. But one idea is let's say you do a mitzvah. You do the physical mitzvah, let's say you give tzedakah. You, a person, a poor person, who needs shelter. So you provide him with a place to live. From the experience of doing tzedakah, you grow. The experience makes an impression upon the one who gives, the one who provides. He comes closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That spiritual experience is not something you can receive reward for in this world. The reward you get for in this world is for your actions. What is the bottom line? We have a person who is homeless and now has shelter, has food, has a life. In this world, actions count. You can sit and learn a Gemara and learn a Sefer Chofetz Chaim and learn about all the ma'alos of doing chesed and tzedakah, and you can internalize it conceptually. Very nice. You've been uplifted spiritually, but what have you done with it? What practical that nafkamina has come from your understanding? Nothing. So you're not going to get any reward in this world. The reward in this world comes from deeds, from actions. The spiritual experience and the growth and your closeness to Kodesh Baruch Hu that you gained from that experience is something that is reserved for the world to come. Right, the machshav is also in the olam ha'emes. That's what it's saying. Is in this world the primary reward that a person gets for his mitzvahs, for his spiritual experiences in this world, are tachlis, are practical results that come about through action, that come about through doing the mitzvahs. A person, you gave him tzedakah, you're going to get reward for giving him tzedakah. But there was a lot more to giving him tzedakah. You've grown through that experience. Yeah, that's very nice, and that's something you'll receive reward for in the next world. But this is a world of action, a world of deed. So here it says, Yeshalem Hashem Paolech. Does not say Hashem will give you complete reward. Hashem will pay you back for your deeds. But you want now to receive reward for the experience, for the ruchnias, for the machshava, for the thought. That, usim maskutech shleimah. That reward, the shlema, all of the bells and whistles that come along with doing a mitzvah, that's only going to be rewarded to you. Me'im Hashem Elokei Yisrael Asher Bas. That will come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the next world, Asher Bas, that you've come, L'chasos Tachas Knafav, part of the mitzvah. Every single time you do a mitzvah, that mitzvah brings you closer to the Shechina. That will be shlema me'im Hashem, not here in this world. Okay, so that's another idea. Okay. We don't know how things work in the next world. No one came back to tell us. Okay, but the point is, we're breaking up. Every single mitzvah has two components, has action and has machshava. The action, you get reward in this world, at least partial reward in this world. The machshava, that's reserved for the next world. And to some degree, that is alluded to in this very pasuk. There is Yishalem Hashem Pa'aleich, you will be rewarded for the pa'ula, and that refers to here in this world, and it's only a partial reward. And then for the greater picture, Usi Maskuteich, the Shlema, the complete reward will be Me'im Hashem Elokei Yisrael. That's going to be from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not here in this world. That's going to be where you're close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is all for what part of the mitzvah? Not for the pu'ula, it's for the machshava. Because the machshava is what brings you closer, asher bas, lachasos tachas kanafav.
Maybe you can tie it in together, referring to Geret Toshev. She was living many years as a Geret Toshev already. She did the deeds of a Geret.
Right, that's the other idea.
She became a Geret.
Geret Tzedek.
But she hasn't really gone through them yet. She just became a Geret now.
Okay.
Her thoughts are there.
The thoughts are there. So those thoughts have become a Geret Tzedek. So for the past, you've been a Geret Toshev and you've gone through the experience of the Sayyim Mitzvahs that we see reward for in this world, be Shlema. But I'm sorry, you'll be rewarded for your Pu'ula. And then for the Kabbalah of the Tayag Mitzvahs that you've accomplished now, that's for the future, that's going to be later. Okay, the two ideas do indeed touch upon each other.
Can I ask you a question? How did Ruth become a Geret?
She went through the process, whatever it entailed.
Wasn't her father an idol worship?
Yes. So you can, a person who, every Geret is, the parents are not Jewish. She converted like any regular convert.
So that's why we had the Megillah of Rus.
Correct. Okay, now there's another idea. This is more of a Hasidish approach to the pasuk. A person, the primary reward a person receives for doing the mitzvah is the beginning. When a person takes upon himself something new, and this idea is just a raw idea, but it's brought out, it says this in here, brings it down, his very source for this, more of a Hasidish type of approach. When a person takes upon himself a new mitzvah, a new madrega, the hardest part is the beginning. Kol hascholos koshos. All new beginnings are difficult. Once a person breaks into a new custom, a new madarga of closeness to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's not that difficult. It's just a matter of nurturing that relationship and developing that experience. Let's say a person, he never davened shachris with a minyan before, and now he's going to break through the ice. He's going to go for the very first time. He's going to go and daven shachris with a minyan. So it's very hard. It's hard to, old habits die hard. It's very hard to break out of a routine, to wake up early, to come to shul, to commit yourself to come to minyan. So that's very hard. And then before he turns around, his whole life goes by. It's now 20 years later. He's been doing this for 20 years. It's second nature to do this now because he's so used to it. Does that mean he's not going to receive reward? He's not going to receive reward for what he's doing for the last 20 years? It was hard to do this in the beginning, the first year, the first couple of months. It was very difficult. But now he's doing it for 20 years. It's easy. Not only is it easy, not necessarily easy. He's become an expert. He's developed a technique in tefillah. He's grown. He's developed, and people come and look up to him, and they ask for guidance in how to daven, in to be successful in tefillah. So the Mefarshim explain is that the person will only receive reward in this world for the first few weeks of coming to davening, because that was his initiation. That was the beginning. That was the kol hascholos koshes. Everything that naturally followed, even though the madregos he's reached, he can be a malach elokim, incredible madregos of ruchnius he has achieved through what he has done. That is, he should not expect to receive reward in this world. That is designated for the next world. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates when it comes to mitzvahs. Hashem saves the bulk for later. Hashem gives reward for the entry into the mitzvah. And this idea is alluded to here in this very pasuk. Yishalem Hashem polech, Hashem will reward you for your deed. Usim asukteh shleimah, mim Hashem ukeh Yisrael. Asher bos. The code, the focus, this idea does not necessarily go well with the first three other two ideas we mentioned. Asher bos, for your entry, the primary reward that you're going to have complete reward for in this world is asher bos. You have entered to come lachasos tachas kinafav. But everything that came after your entry, which naturally flowed, is designated for the next world. Yeah?
A couple questions. One, what is the nature of this reward in this world, number one? Number two, what is the percentage you get? You accumulate mitzvahs, A, B, C, D, a whole string of mitzvahs every day. You daven.
Well, we have to say, Chazal also says, Schar Bahaya Al Molech. Okay, let's take everything in perspective. Even though we say that this reward is giving you a bracha, you should be rewarded. But Chazal also says, Schar Bahaya Al Molech. There is no reward for a mitzvah in this world. It says in Pirkei Avos, Schar Mitzvah Mitzvah, Schar Avera Avera. So how do we reconcile all of these things? So the common approach is that in this world, the reward the person receives in this world is opportunities to do more mitzvahs. Person struggles to do mitzvahs, and he does a mitzvah. Hashem provides him with wealth, with long life, with health. And what does he do with that money? What does he do with that time, that free time he has on his hands? He uses it to do more mitzvahs, or uses it to inspire other people to do mitzvahs. That's the general approach. But there is some degree of reward. Even that reward a person receives is only a small amount. Chazal say it's peros, it's only dividends, it's not the essence of reward, and that reserved for the next world. Here is a very important pasuk, probably one of the most important psukim of reward in this world, of the bracha that Boaz is giving us. Yishalem Hashem polech usim asukteh shleimah v'im Hashem lukei Yisrael asher bos tach lachasos tachas knafav. Being that this pasuk is loaded, it's verbose. This is a gold mine for Chazal to explore what exactly is the nature of reward in this world. By Avraham, all Hashem said to Avraham, "Schorcha harbe mod." Your reward is very much. Doesn't really tell us much. Here we have a lot of ideas. And one of the last idea I want to bring out is it says to the word bus. Bus means the primary reward is for your initiation. And everything that follows from there, that's not for this world. That's for a later point in time. I think you all can relate to that. You do certain things. You don't have any expectation. The time when you really feel the need, you feel the difficulty, is when you begin. It's a haschola. Kol haschola is kashas. Okay, there's another idea that's brought out here in this pasuk, and that is that touches upon. That touches upon the original question we asked: is schar b'hayal molecha? How was Boaz allowed to give her a bracha for reward? And also, it goes back to the question we learned last week: how was with the minchas chinuch that we spoke about? The minchas chinuch says lo sidroi shloimam v'tayvasim kol yemecha la'olam. The chiddush the minchas chinuch is that you're not allowed to seek the good and welfare of a member of Amon Moav even after they convert. A shocking chiddush of the minchas chinuch: even after Amon Moav converts, they're a full fledged Jew. And you meet them on the street, you should not say to them good morning. You should not say, how are you? Every sefer that you touch on sefer on Rus will touch upon this chiddush of the minchas. They say it's a pella to say such a thing, and they all want to say that's exactly what the havmin of Rus was, but Boaz told that's not so. That may only be true with regard to men. It's not true with regard to women who are allowed to convert, and therefore you're not part of that category. However, if we do want to say that the minchas chinuch is correct, that there is no mitzvah of seeking the good and welfare of a ger from Amun Amov after they convert, the question stands, how was Boaz allowed to tell his workers to leave over some stalks, and they should deliberately forget things in order that she'll have what to collect, and he provided for her food and shelter and took care of her? How was he allowed to do this? So the answer is hidden too in this pasuk. Boaz told her, I'm not seeking your good and welfare, midin et tzedakah. I'm seeking your good and welfare because I owe you. It's payment for services because you have taken care of Naomi. Naomi is my blood relative. As we learned in the beginning, they're all descendants of Nachshon ben Aminadav. Naomi was the blood relative of Boaz. And Boaz had an obligation to take care of her and to provide for her. And here he finds this convert, this woman, Ruth, is doing his job. So he's telling her, I have an obligation, an obligation to pay you for your service. It's my duty. You have done it on my behalf, and I owe you your money for your service. So I'm not seeking your good and welfare as chesed, because that may indeed be forbidden, being that you've come from a nation that's not allowed to enter into Klal Yisrael. But instead, I'm paying you for your service. And that's what it says, maskurteich shleima. I'm paying you shalim Hashem paleich. He's alluding here, he's alluding, well, it really goes back to the previous pasuk as well, but just to bring out the general idea, is that's why in pasuk Gidalf he elaborates, who gave to Gali kol asher asis escha moiseich achrei mos isheich. I heard what you did for her. I heard that you have provided her needs. Vatazvi avich v'imech v'eretz moladetech v'telchi el am asher lo yidat mol shoshoma. And therefore, yishalim Hashem paleich. I'm not paying you, giving you all of this kindness out of the goodness of my heart because I want to do chesed. I owe it to you. I'm an ethical person. Someone did a service. I have an obligation to pay for the service. So then he's saying that, and then maybe it could be his inachnami for the chesed that I can't take care of. That's Hashem's department. Hashem told me lo sidra shleima v'tayvasam kol yemecha lo'olam. So that's for Hashem. Inachnami, you have to be a little bit more homiletic in fitting all this into the words. But what I'm gonna do for you, it's poleich. You're a poyel. You're a worker. You've done a service. You're entitled to minimum wage. That's what I'm giving you. What about the fact that you're another Jew, and another Jew, you have to do chesed, you have to be kind? Listen, I'm not allowed to. The Torah said you can't do it. And therefore, if that, you're going to have to leave to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that Yehi should be maskudeh shlemam im Hashem elokeisho shabos lechasos tachas kinafav.
There's a good question that's asked by the Shemar Yosha at the bottom.
Yeah.
What was he saying Hashem should give you in light of what you just said right now? There's a debt, and what Nehemiah just said, Hashem will pay. What Chas v'Shalom, Hashem won't pay you?
Won't pay you fully?
Yeah, so he's encouraging her.
No, he's making a statement.
Yeah.
And a bracha, what bracha is he giving her?
He's giving her a bracha.
And what, Hashem will pay what is owed to him? If he's saying, I owe you,
yeah,
Hashem's going to pay it, but I owe you. What's the
prophet? So what does he say? So what is the answer?
He says, he brings a Gemara in Yavamas.
Yeah.
It's a long Gemara. But it's an interesting show, especially based on the thing he said, very good. What's Indian of Hashem is going to pay you? What you say, Rabbi, that is...
Well, with this last idea, we have a little bit of an approach. He's saying that really, I have to pay you in this world. Every Jew, kol Yisrael harim zelozeh, you see a fellow Jew, he's in need, he does a chesed, you have to reciprocate. Boaz is saying, I can't reciprocate because the Torah.
He is paying you. He
He's paying her for a paulech. He's paying her.
Instructed his people to leave over a week.
Right. So according,
that's how he's paying her back
for paulech. He's paying.
He's paying her back for what she did for Nami with all those things. Even though it's usher for a Moabia, but because he owes her, so he's paying it back. But he's also saying, "May Hashem also repay you for the good that you."
There's more. There's only that much a human being can pay back. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pay the ultimate reward. Okay, there's one other issue which the Mepharshim touched upon. Okay, in the Kel Mole. Okay, but the Kel Mole by a funeral. Let me see if I can find it. We make a Kel Mole. Shachmas. So I have it over here. Kel Mole, Kel Mole Rachmim. We go on to say, Bavur should be neither. So okay, now there are nuschos. Okay, I don't have the right one here. Where it says tachas kinaf. Here it says tachas kanfei hashchina. So where does it say that? Which kel mole do we have that in? Okay. I have over here al kanfei. Okay, very good. Okay, al kanfei. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Al kanfei kel mole racham shachin mebamraimim. Hamtsei menucha nechoina al kanfei hashchina. The nusach is al. Upon the Kanfei Hashchina. Okay? In the English translation, who dwells on high, grant proper rest. Hamtsei Menucha Nechona. We ask Hashem, please provide a Menucha Nechona, a proper rest, al, upon the Kanfei Hashchina. Notice here in this pasuk it says, Tachas. Kanfei Hashchina.
How we would generally understand it.
So this is in Yoni Kabbalah. We always say no one.
What's the pasuk when Hashem took Bnei Yisrael? How he compares himself?
Al Kanfei Nesharim, the wings of eagles. There's Nesho and there it's on top. But that's a human. That's a creature in this world. That's not a spiritual creature.
On top, and we were underneath.
The Al Kanfei, we were on top. We were on top.
But it's transportation.
But that is a nesher. That's not Hashem's wings. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim al kanfei nesharim, upon the wings of nesharim. What are nesharim? We translate it as an eagle, a vulture, something along those lines. But whatever it means. So there, but that's, and Rashi provides the medrash and why on a vulture, because all other creatures carry their prey below. The vulture, the eagle carries its prey above, being that it flies. The young is, being that these creatures fly above all other creatures, they need not be afraid that some other creature will come and snatch their children. The only thing they're afraid of is they'll be shot down by an arrow from below. Therefore, the Nesher says, better the arrow enter into me than hurt, injure my young. Okay, but here we're not discussing the Nesha, we're discussing the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we're describing him as the his wings, and it says tachas, underneath. That's the bracha. So he's giving her a second-rate bracha. You would expect that Boaz should say, Usihi maskutech shlema, may your reward be complete, asher bos lachasos al Kanfei Hashchina, like we say in the Nusach of the Kel Mole, Hamsei Menucha Nechona Al Kanfei Hashchina, not Tachas Kanfei Shchina. So this is very problematic. There's a lot that is discussed. I don't see it here on the page. I remember reading about this in preparing for Kaddish. I remember different other inyanim. And I think there could even be there a different Nuschos in the Kel Mole. You have to pay attention to the Kel Mole. Some Kel Moles indeed do not have this Al. They have a different expression.
Tachas is it's a lot of Amuna involved in here, because take the story of the Ger Tzedek in
Shabbos,
right? They came to him and they wanted to kill him. He says, no, you can't kill me. I'm fine. I'm Tachas Kanfei Hashchina. I don't need protection. I've accepted my position to be
To die al Kiddush Hashem.
I'm afraid of arrows.
So here it's been used, you're saying it's been used here in a different context. Here it's been used by the living. Over here you're coming to be part of Klal Yisrael, and that's an expression, you're taking shelter underneath.
Protection. I'm coming here because I think this is the right place to be.
Okay, all right. But
just, Aaron said before the Imre Yoshi, he's very nice. He said, I heard this from Zachariah Wallace yesterday, that went out to a kindergarten class, and he asked every kid, where's Hashem? And one kid brought it up, and one kid said, Hashem is there. And he was saying that, he came to the troublemaker, and he said, where's Hashem? And the kid pointed to himself. So,
it's in me, Hashem is with me.
The Imre Yoshi says that every dare has some... You spoke about it last week. He has some...
Silas.
He has some reason that his parents... He has a gene, something that makes him...
Okay.
But that comes out and it comes out later, or it can come out because the person jumps ahead. David HaMelech had to come out of Rus. But Rus didn't wait and see what would happen now. She jumped ahead, so...
Okay, so you're touching upon another idea.
You that you should get the full scar because
you came early.
You didn't let it come out.
Okay, you're touching upon another idea. It's good to remind me. I totally forgot about this idea. I think I saw this before a couple of seconds back. There's a chazal. I don't have the exact words of the chazal, but the gist of the chazal, it's a very, very disturbing chazal. Chazal have made the observation that gerate tzedek, suffer quite a bit in this world. Their degree of suffering is more. It's more than the average person, and the Chazal are disturbed. Why is that so? Why do we find that if you do a study and take all of the Gerei Tzedek and do a scientific study, you'll see that they suffer more than the average Jew who's from birth? Chazal answer: you know why they suffer? They're being punished, because if they already converted, they should have converted earlier. Why did they delay? The average ger, when you'll ask him, how old were you when you converted? Oh, I was 35 years old. And he'll tell you, you know, I already knew what I knew when I was 25 years old. I should have converted when I was 25 years old, but you know, this didn't happen until I was 35 years old. This is what Chazal say. Every ger that converts, there's a tzviya on him. If you already had it within you to make that jump, you already could have made that jump long before, and now that you're part of Klal Yisrael with tzviya, why you did not make that conversion at an earlier state in time, and for that, you have to be punished. Here's such a shocking thing. In this world, to cleanse you for those sins. This is what it says in Chazal. Like I told you, it's very disturbing, but this is what it says. You don't have to apologize for Chazal. Chazal says something, you don't have to make any apologies. This is what they say. What?
What about the waiting period? You said it would be...
Okay, that's part of the process. But that's part of the process. Okay, so you can go, you can start the waiting period, you can start the whole process 20 years ago also. The whole thing can be done, whatever the time period is. Whatever, this is a chazal. So here, what Boaz is saying, or Meir touched upon this idea, what Boaz said to Rus, why is he saying, Shalema, you, Naomi, will receive the full, you, Rus, will receive the full reward, because I detect, you did not delay. There was no moment in time in your life when you could have come earlier. It's not like you dilly-dallied, that you married, you machloin, and then this tragedy happened, and you thought about it for 10 years, and then you called up your mother-in-law, what's doing over there in Beis Lechem, and you decided to come for a visit, and then one thing led to another, you converted. There was no moment in your life that you could have converted at that time. The earliest moment in your life when you had the recognition of the MS of the Ribbono Shel Olam and you should convert, you jumped on the opportunity. Therefore, you are not subject to this chazal that says the reason why Gerim suffer disproportionately in Yisurim in this world is because they couldn't convert it earlier. That, I'm telling you, does not apply to you, and therefore that's the meaning of the brach Husi Maskutech Shalema. May your reward be complete. There's nothing lacking. Asher Bas here has the connotation. You've jumped on the opportunity. The first moment you could, you came forward. Lachasos Tachas Knafav, to join Klal Yisrael. Okay. That doesn't answer the kasha.
I left the question open.
I left it open. I don't have an answer. Well, the very simple answer is the context. In the Kel Moli Racham, we're discussing the Shem that's no longer here. So in the Olam HaEmes, he's described as being Al-Kanfei Ashrina. In this world, when a person wants to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we describe him coming Tachas Kanfei Ashrina. That's the simple answer. The simple answer is it's all in this world you're coming Tachas Kanfei Ashrina, and in the next world when you're already Olam HaEmes, then you're considered to be Al Kanfei Hashchina. Some want to say the different madrigals. There are madrigals tzaddikim who are Tachas Kanfei Hashchina, and there are madrigals of tzaddikim that are Al Kanfei Hashchina. Could be over here that he's trying to lower her expectation. Maybe, I mean, this is shocking. I don't know if this is what I'm saying is correct. He's telling you, if you want to convert, don't convert. Don't have expectations that you're gonna be like the others. You're a ger. A ger is limited. You're limited. So don't think you're going to come to the Madrega where you're going to be Al Kanfash. It may very well be that you will. David HaMelech, what more do you want? David HaMelech, the greatest of the great. But you should not mislead people, lie to people, and tell them, oh, join us. Join us and you'll be better than us. You have to be realistic. If you want to convert, it has to be L'Shem Shemayim. He lowered the bar. Come, join Tachas Kanfei Hashchina, not Al Kanfei Hashchina. I'm just throwing out an idea. I don't know if what I'm saying it makes any sense. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Yeah.
It says in particular the Rav Kana that he must pay Shlomo means her reward would be
Shlomo,
be the queen mother.
Mother, Shlomo.
Shlomo as Shlomo.
Shlomo, right. Thank you very much for reminding me. The word here is not spelled Choser. According to Chazal, we would have expected the word to be Shlema with a Yud. Shlema. After the Lamed, there should be a Yud. That's what we would expect, according to the rules of grammar. And it's Choser. Why is it Choser? He's being merames to her that you can't bring a raya from a sitter, of Molin Choser. I'll bring you the biggest proof. I had a big fight with someone about this. Not a big fight, a small fight. Here, look at this sitter. What does it say? What does it say on the shar blot? I see there's tape on. Okay. This I take back. This it says Tfilas, pretty good. Tfilas Shlomo. Is there a yud in Tfilas? Is there a yud? No, there's no yud. That's exactly the way in Tanakh. Nowhere in Tanakh is Tfilah spelled with a yud. Look at most Sidurim. How they spell here? Tefillah. See, look at the first page of the article. Sitter. Tefillahs limos achol. Tefillahs. In the Tanakh, nowhere in Tanakh is the word tefillah spelled mole. It is always spelled choser. You can take out a concordance. Because there are no vowels in the Gemara. So we add alephs and yuds and vavs in order to make it clear how to read. But Tanakh is precise. If there's no need for a yud, there is no yud. If there's a need for a yud, there is a need for a yud.
Yes. Shema Kolayim. It's all choshen.
Shema Kolayinu.
Yeah, and the other book that it's in.
Shlemea Tzfilah. How does it conclude?
We're talking about Shlema.
Okay, I was just saying you can't bring a raya from a sitter because okay. I just want to point you, but the Pesukim Chazal have a tradition. The fact you're making mention of Medrash, being that it says here Shlema Choser, we are alluding to Shlomo. And here he told her that the ultimate reward for coming joining Klal Yisrael will be none other than being the mother, Ima Shel Malchus, being the mother of Shlomo HaMelech. The Tekufa in the history of Klal Yisrael, when Klal Yisrael was complete, or Sholem, each tachas gav and tachas tenoso, Klal Yisrael reached the ultimate shlemus in his lifetime, and when he sat on his throne, a chair was set for Rus. Chazal said that Rus had unusual longevity. She lived to see how many years? It must have been hundreds of years.
Yeah.
To see Shlomo HaMelech. She sat by him and she watched him. She watched him judge.
His becoming
king. Okay, let's.
During his downfall, or something.
We don't know.
She had to have lived how many hundreds of years? A very, very long time. It's very long. Okay, let's go for it. Let's now go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Gimel Tamer Emsa Tamer. So she responds after hearing this beautiful bracha. So she responds, "Vatamer." She said, "Emsachem b'necha Adoni." Now I find favor in your eyes, my master. Ki nicham tani. You have granted me comfort. Nichi dibar to alev shifrasech. You have spoken upon my heart. V'yanochi lo eheye ki achas shifrasech. I'm not even worthy to be one of your maid servants. Let's take a look at Rashi. Pasuk Yud Gimel lo eheye ki achas shifrasech. Eini chashuva ke achas min hashifacho shalucha. I'm not even as indignified, as important as one of your maidservants. Now the Hebrew word for maidservant is an amo. An amo is very close phonetically in the letters as an imo, as a mother. And that touches upon what it was said before, is that when she said, I'm not even worthy to be an omo ho'avriya. Omo is a maidservant. Oma is Aleph Mem Hey. That's the same as Ima, a mother. Just change the vowels in Ima. And indeed, she became one of the Imohos. Rus was equated with the Imos of Sar Rivka Rochalea, and that's what the reward was. That's why this pasuk, according to the Mepharshim, follows the previous pasuk, according to Targum, the previous pasuk. What was the bracha that Boaz gave Rus? That you should, your chelik in Olam Haba should be together with Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Vuleya, who are called the Imohos. And here's your response. You're giving me a bracha, I should be one of the Imohos. I'm not even worthy of being one of the Amohos, of one of the maidservants. The same exact was a play on the word from Ima to an Ama to be a maidservant. Let's see the Targum now, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vamaras, and she said, Rus responded, Ashkach Rachamin, may I find Rachamim be'enoch in your eyes, Riboni my master. Now that's a chiddush right here and there. The word chen is one of the most difficult words to translate in Tanakh. Find a good translation for chen. Grace, kindness, mercy, charisma, favor. There's no real good word. Chazal themselves struggle. They say, Chazal say it means matnas chinam. Chain comes from the word chinam, free. You like a person and you can't put your finger on why you like him. I just like him. There's no reason why I can tell you I like him. He has not given me any money. I have nothing to gain from him. I like him just because I like him. There's some supernatural connection. That's called chen. So here in the Targum, he's giving us a new translation. He's saying mercy. Rachmanis means compassion. There's something that pulls my heart. Vamaras, and I said, Vamar, she said, Ashkach, may I find rachamin, mercy. The pasuk could have said that. Emsa, rachamin be'inecha. May I find mercy in your eyes. But that's not what the pasuk says. The pasuk says chen. And the Targum translates it with the word rachamin, which is something which requires more understanding. Reboini, my master, arum, because nicham tani, you have granted me comfort. Le'achsha rusani. Now here's another two words which is a subject with much discussion. Le'achsha rusani does not appear in the pasuk. This is being added by the Targum. To prepare me, Limitke, to become pure. Tahar, two words. You have prepared me to become tahar. Purity. Lemeal, to enter, Bikola de Hashem, in the assembly of Hashem. You don't just come into the nation of Hashem. You first must go through a preparation process which cleanses the neshama, which brings tahara. You just don't go from a goy to a Jew. You have to prepare. It comes from this Targum. Powerful stuff.
This Targum, right? You made me kosher because you said, well,
That's part. He said by issuing the psak halach in the previous pasuk, I heard from the mamar chachamim only amoni v'lo amonis. So that psak halach, you make me kosher. Okay, you've now given me the option. It is a form of comfort to me. I'm kosher limitke to become tohar. Tohar, lemeal, to end. But again, those two words, especially the word limit to become tohar, is superfluous. That's superfluous. There's an added chiddush in the pasuk. Lemeal bekola da Hashem, va'arum, and furthermore, because malilta, you have spoken, tanchumen, you have spoken words of comfort, al libo, the toch of your maidservant, the av tachtani, you have promised me. It does not say this in the pasuk. To inherit the next world, like a righteous person.
I think you have a slightly
different punctuation.
Okay, what do you? Okay, fine. We
have hey,
bitzit kusa. Yeah, but the base bitzit kusa. Okay, I have a hey. Okay, fine. You promised me to come into the to inherit the world to come like a righteous person. Vano and I, Leslie zuchu. I don't have the merit. He adds another chiddush. The zuchusim. Lastly, zechul lemehevi li chukla, to have a portion l'olmo diyaseh afilu imchado min amosach, even with one of your maid servants. Ma'amo, even that much merit I do not have. So he Targum takes this entire thing and transfers it from this world to the next world. If you read the pasuk, you translate it literally, you think of him with this world, that I'm not even equivalent to one of your maidservants in this world to receive food and shelter. No, that's not what he says. He says we're talking about the next world, and you've granted me very great comfort. Okay, and the Farshim also point out that here, why does it say over here that you've granted me a nechama? Why specifically the word nichamtani? Comfort. So the answer is because until this point of time, she was in a state of mourning. Rus had no expectation of ever marrying again. If she wanted to get married again, she would have to stay in Moav. In Moav, there she can marry whoever she wants. If you're going to convert and become part of Klal Yisrael, the understanding at this point was, you're not going to be accepted. You're not allowed to marry. You may convert, good for you, you can convert. But who is going to marry you? No one. So for the rest of your life, you're going to be a widow. If you're going to be a widow, what are you going to do? A widow, in ancient times, a widow means you are continuing to mourn for your husband. The big day al-manusa, we have this by Tamar and Yehuda, that Tamar, she mourned for Aaron Onan, and she wore the big day al-manusa because she was waiting for Yehuda to give the third son Shelah in Yibam. So until that point in time, she wears special clothing which shows she's still mourning for the loss of her husband. So being that Rus had no plans in ever getting married, she would be in a perpetual state of mourning for the loss of her husband. Now that Boaz said, no, you are allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael, so she was permitted to take off the clothing of mourning and put on regular clothing to make as a statement that she's ready for marriage. She's an eligible girl in the shidduch field, in the shidduch market. So that's why the word nechama is the perfect word. If Stam, she's anyway Oisik and Shidduchim, and she's just depressed, so the pastor should say Ki Simachtani, you've gladdened my heart. There are a whole long list of words we could have chosen, we could have used to say, thank you so much Boaz, you've spoken so kindly to me, you've lifted my spirits. The word Nechama is a term that is only used in reference to mourning. Where is she mourning? Who is she mourning for? What's the mourning here? The answer is no, she is mourning her husband. Because as long as she's not going to get married, that automatically means, why are you not getting married? Because you're loyal to your husband. You want to show that you're loyal to him and you don't want to get married. Why are you doing so? Because I don't have a choice. Anyway, no one's going to want to go marry me. But now that it's been revealed to me by you that I'm allowed to get married, so now I'm no longer in mourning. I can take off my big deal manusa. I can wear other clothing. That's why we have here the word nichamtani. Okay, and we mentioned over here the shifchasech, the alma, that's what the targum. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Gidal v'yom l'boyez boyez says le'isoichel. Boaz said to her at the time of eating, goshi haloim, I want you to come here. Come haloim means here. V'yochalt min halechem, you shall eat from the bread. V'toval piteich v'chomets, dip your bread into chomets, into the vinegar. V'teishev mitzad, and I want you to sit mitzad ha-koitzim, near the harvesters. Don't sit in a special, no segregation. This is not a bus where you sit in the back of the bus.
V'teishev means instruction, or it's a statement of what you do.
Statement. Vateshev. She's giving her command. Vateshev.
He's giving her command, or she's...
No, the command is done. Now,
I'm sorry. Vateshev. She sat mitzad hakoytzrim. She sat mitzad hakoytzrim. Vayitzpot lo kali. Vayitzpot is an unusual word. It means he handed her. Vayitzpot, he handed her kali, parched grain, parched kernels which were toasted kernels, which was a delicacy. The average, the poor people did not eat delicacies. They chewed on raw grain. She received grain that was toasted. Vatoichal, she ate vatispa, she was satisfied. Vatosar, and she left over. A lot here is going on in this pasuk. Let's see first to Rashi. Rashi pasuk Yudalit. Vatovalt pidech b'chometz. He told her that you should dip your bread in chometz, in vinegar. Why? Mikan she chometz yofe la sharav. Sharav is a heat wave, a heat stroke. Obviously, we're telling us over here that it was extremely hot. How do we know it was hot? Maybe it wasn't so hot. So here it seems we seem to learn indirectly that when she came back, that this was Pesach time. Pesach time is not it's not the hottest time of the year. The summer is the hottest time of the year. But it seems to indicate from this pasuk that he's telling you, dip your bread into the vinegar. It was extremely, unusually hot at this time of the year. And it also comes to add to the mesiras nefesh on the part of Ruth to provide food, parnasa, for her mother-in-law. She went out in the sweltering heat to bring back some food, and he told her, dip your bread in vinegar, because vinegar is good to offset any cooling agent, the sakana of a heat wave. Okay, that's the first part of Rashi. Yitzpul Akali, he handed her toasted kernels. Vayoshet lo. The word vayitzpat lo means to hand. The ain lo dimyum b'mikwa. There is no precedent in Tanakh. The word vayitzpat. Elo b'loshen Mishnah. We only find this in the Mishnayis. Acharayim. V'toch ubeis itztiva. Different parts of the body. The back. The toch, I'm not sure what that's referring to. Ubeis, so it still means the arm. The arm is the part that you extend. The section, ubeis hatsevita, the part of the body that you use to extend to hand, means the entire arm. So we see here the word vayitzpa means to extend. Okay, now the next, is there another Rashi? Okay, that's it. Okay, let's see the Targum. Targum pasuk Yudalid, v'amar la Boaz. Boaz said to Lidan Sudas, at the time of the meal, kriivi, come close. So he takes the entire world. Holcha means here. Goshi halom. Come here.
Come over here.
Holcha means here. That's what halom. And goshi means to come close. V'selchin min lachma. And eat. Sechlin means to eat from the bread. V'tamishi sadayich. And dip. Okay, tamishi means to dip. Sadaich means your bread, your food. Bisav shila the ispashal bachala. He's giving more explanation. Not the vinegar. You don't dip bread in raw vinegar. You dip it in a cooked food. Some type of dip that one of the ingredients of the food is vinegar. What?
Salad dressing.
Right, something like that. Some type of other. There is a tavshil that was cooked with vinegar. V'sevas mistar chotzodaya, and the teshev. Now, I think the Targum was saying is part of the command. V'sevas mistar on the side chotzodaya. I think from the Targum it's mashma, that's the word vateshev does not mean that she sat.
What are you reading?
The Targum. V'sevas. V'sevas mistar chotzodaya.
We don't have v'sevas. We have v'sivas.
V'sivas?
V'yesivas.
V'yesivas. Okay, it's the same letters, just different items, different nikud. Okay. V'sivas. Then it would be a command. Maybe that's the Vidalaf community. V'sivas will be a command. I mean, they sat. Can I match? V'sivas mistar chotzodaya. Okay. I do not know. Here it's Vatesha Mitzalakos. According to the translation that he presents here, it's not Mukhach. He seems to say that it was part of the command. You're telling me that no, it's what she did. She actually went and she sat down with Tzalakaitzim. And we're now telling us what she did, and he gave her Kali Vatachal Vatisa
Vatosa. He's. Makes sense that it's part of the command because you would have the chutzpah to go over and sit
on. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Okay, so from the way it appears here is that this is all part of what he's telling you. He's telling you, I want you to go come over here, eat from the bread, dip your bread in the vinegar, and take a seat with the men. Sit next to them, near them, and eat. And then the pasuk goes on to say that he went and he actually gave her. He handed to her. He then handed to her. Let's finish up the targum. V'yosheit la kemach kali. He handed her kemach kali. He handed her flour. Now here it says kemach. Here it does not say. The targum says he did not hand her actual kernels of grain that have been toasted. That's a Sibyl translation of Kali. In the Mishnah, the Gemara, Kali always means kernels of grain that have been toasted. Here it says flour, kemach. The Oishid la kemach Kali. He gave her flour that has been toasted. And I guess you have to take that flour, you have to knead it with water and make bread. There's a lot more that goes on to the process. You don't eat raw flour. Kernels of grain you eat raw. But you don't eat raw flour, so maybe that means that there was a baking process that took place at this point in time. I do not know. It was also Pesach. If it was Pesach, well, that's a question. Was it Pesach? Was it after Pesach? You have to be very careful when you bake bread on Pesach. We don't make bread today on Pesach, but she ate, was satisfied the ash aras, and she left over. Okay, there are a number of things. I know Rabbi Chol, in his eyes, I can see he's referring to the famous Medrash. Goyishi halom refers to what? It refers to Malchus. Right? Goyishi halom is when David HaMelech became king, it was described with Goyishi halom. Okay, let me find the pasuk. Give me one moment. Goshi Halom. I thought I marked it down. The exact pasuk. The pasuk that was used to describe Malchus was Ein Haloim. Ki chayne chazal da'ashm Ein Haloim ila Malchus. The word Haloim is a reference to Malchus. As it says in the pasuk, here it is. Vayavu ha-melech David vayish lefnei Hashem Vayoymer mi anoichi ki hevi sani ad Haloim. David HaMelech, this is Shmuel Beis, Pasuk Zion, when David became king, we want to say, Vayavoy HaMelech David, Vayesh Lufnei Hashem, Vayomer, Mi Anoichi, who am I? Ki Hevisani Ad Haloim, you have brought me this far.
Right.
Halaim lekan. You have brought me to this matzav in life. Chazal say, what is it? Was it referring to from the context? It means you were so kind to me to make me the melech of Klal Yisrael. So you see here the word halaim in this context is malchus, and here Boaz says to her, Goshi halom. He's telling her, I'm being merame. See that you will be the mother of malchus. From you will come out kings from Klal Yisrael. That is what is to be merames. Now he's also being merames to her, dip your bread in vinegar. Vinegar is always a reference to Rishoin. Vinegar, what is vinegar? Vinegar means good wine that turns sour. Who was the good wine in Klal Yisrael that turned sour? Menashe. Menashe was a descendant of Rus that turned sour. He was one of the kings. The Chazal say, "Do not have a chelik le'olam haba." So here he's telling. Here. This is a very, very, very disturbing Chazal. He was being merames to her. You will be the mother of Menashe. From you will come out Rishoim. Now, if there's a halacha that you're not allowed to cause tsar to a ger. So how in the world was Boaz allowed to say to her, yeah, very good, you're a tzadekes, and Hashem's going to give you reward, Yishal Hashem askutech, Yishleimu Yomim Hashem Elokim, and you're going to have Shlomo, Haloim, but don't get so excited, Rus. Also from you will come the worst of the worst. So what kind of that's not a nice thing to say. That's not a nice thing to say to the Geras. You want to call her Tsar? Okay, so the question is better than the answer. But it does touch upon another question, another idea that it says in the Pasuk. It says, V'hoyaki yisholcha bincha mochor leymar mazos. And the Chazal say, so it says right afterwards, Vayishtachu, Vayiktuam, Vayishtachu, when the people bow down. Moshe Rabbeinu says, the day will come when your children will ask you the following question. And he goes on to say what to tell them, whatever it is. And then when the people heard this mention that the children will say to them, Mazos, Vayiktu Ha'am Vayishtachavu, they bow down. Why did they bow down? They gave praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Besuras Habanim, that they're going to have children. And all the Mepharshim ask, yeah, but the Pasuk that they was just read to them is the Rasha. Mo Havoyda Hazos Lochem, Lochem V'lolo. So what do they give? Well, when it came to the Chacham, when it came to the She'eni, the Elishal, and the Tam, there's no mention of Klai, so they bow down. All of a sudden, they're thanking Hashem for giving them children when the children are Rishoyim. So the answer in the Chanami, that's exactly the point. But even if the children are Rishoyim, at the least they'll come to have an interest to ask questions, that's also a Madrega. Rachman al-Tzlan can be even worse. If people could have children, Rachman al-Tzlan, there can be children that are Rishoyim that don't even come to the Seder, that don't ask the questions. Mr. Rappaport, you always tell me that about the fifth child that doesn't come to the Seder. At least this child comes to the Seder and asks questions. So there's good, there's Shevach, there's Brach in that as well. So here, that idea parallels what it says over here in this pasuk over here as well. Here, Boaz is coming to tell her, Rus, I'm telling you all the good thing that's going to happen to you. Tehi maskur teich shlema, yishal Hashem po'alech. Every single thing he tells her is one thing good after another. Come, sit down near me. He's being, everything he's telling, he's being meram, is what's going to happen to her. And you're going to have shlomo hamelech, right? Shlema, oisio shlomo. And you're going to have haloim, malchus, David. But you're also going to have a Menashe, who's a Rosha Merusha. But that's also a blessing in disguise. How is it a blessing in disguise? Well, he did Shuvah, Chazal say.
That's the point.
He did Shuvah. It was too little, too late. Okay, the Shuvah he did was not able to reverse the kilkel that he put into motion. Menashe, so he said, is you dip your bread in the vinegar, Menashe. So, it's the same idea. Even for that, you have to realize, you have to give Shevach V'Hoyder to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even for the Rishoyim that are going to come from you. Because even in the Rishoyim, there are Nitzotzos, sparks of holiness, which will one day blossom and mushroom and be instrumental in bringing the ultimate Gula for Klal Yisrael. And that's a very important lesson. It's a tremendous lesson in what Boaz is telling us, in telling a potential convert. Because a convert, obviously, there are sparks of Tumah in a convert. And those sparks of Tumah are going to be problematic in the future. And Chazal say one time that a ger is a sapachas, and this the one interpretation interprets this negatively, that there are sparks in the ger that are not holy, which are problematic. But yet, even in those problems, there is ultimately good, which earn shevach v'oida to Hakadosh Baruch Hu.
Rav Elimelech says that you gave to eat bread dipped in tears.
Bread dipped in tears, yeah.
So that's equivalent to Paschal finance.
Okay.
That's a
fine. Okay. All right, we're out of time. We'll stop here.
Okay.